Thank you for downloading or podcasting this track. This recording has been remastered to provide the best sound possible given the audio environment of the original recording session. Mosaic Silver Spring is a faith community located just inside the Capitol Beltway in Montgomery County. For more information, please visit our website, www.mosaicsilverspring.org, and we'll see you in the neighborhood.
Hi, my name is Elaine, and I'm a member of Mosaic. I'll be reading the scripture passage today, which is John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Join me as we pray for Pastor Joel. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for making us your children. We thank you for coming to earth as flesh, and we thank you for Pastor Joel. We pray that your spirit would speak through his words, that we may be full of grace and truth. We pray all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Elaine. Well, we are in our fourth and final Sunday of Advent, and if you are unfamiliar with Advent, that is completely fine. I want to just give you a small sense of what it's all about. Throughout the history of the Christian church, particularly the Western church, so for thousands of years, the church has celebrated Advent as part of its calendar, its sense of flow of time. And even more so, that's important because it has been used to remind Christians across the world, across cultures, of the second arrival, the second advent of Jesus. Something that the church is to look forward to, something that the church is to take comfort in, something that the church is called to bear witness to. And so in this season of Christmas that's often oriented around looking back to Jesus's first arrival, we as a church do that, and we should celebrate. But I think we shouldn't miss the opportunity to look forward to Jesus' return and what life looks like for us living between those two advents. And that has been the scope of the series that we have covered so far. And so you can see we have taken a look at a couple of the privileges that we have and a couple of the challenges that we face as a community. So in the first week, we looked at the access that we have to God through the pouring out of God's Spirit in Romans 8, and that we can pray to God in ways that people often couldn't before, that we have this ability to pray, and by God's Spirit that's been poured out on us, we have that access. Then we talked about 2 Corinthians 5, that part of that second advent is the resurrection bodies that we can look forward to. And yet, in the meantime, we face the obstacles or challenges of physical limitations, of illness, of even the prospect of death. Last week, we looked forward to the beautiful community that we are headed toward. And yet we live in a reality of times where community is more challenging. Just the COVID restrictions that we face and the distancing that is a part of our day-to-day lives can just present a challenge to our sense of feeling connected to one another. And then this week, we are looking at John 1 and the privilege of God's presence with us. In the Gospel of John and in this prologue that Elaine just read, God is announcing not only his creation of the world, but his arrival into it, his incarnation. And if you have followed along in the opening verses in the beginning, there are these echoes back to Genesis 1, to Genesis 1:1, to the very opening of Scripture. It is a bit of an echo from God's good word of creation. And here we see through the word of God, he has not only created the world, but he has entered into it and continues to push toward new creation. One of the focal points of this prologue is the arrival of the word. In verse 14, you'll see, "And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." This word arrived, this incarnation, this God with us, this is a unique point in our Christian history that not only reminds us of what the work of Jesus has accomplished, but helps us to look forward and reminds us that God is with us. He isn't just some distant or abstract deity. He isn't just some father who stands far off with no engagement. Rather, God has come near. Lauren Winter, in her book, Girl Meets God, she described what it was like working through Christianity. I think it captures the sense of God's presence with us. She writes, "The very first thing I liked about Christianity long before it even occurred to me to go to church or to say the creed or to call myself a Christian was the incarnation. The idea that God lowered himself, that God took on humanity, and that we can relate to him better. In Christianity, God got to be both distant and transcendent, as well as an imminent son who walked among us." This is what John is writing in the opening of his gospel to remind us. We do not journey alone. God has arrived. He has taken on humanity. He is near to us. And in the midst of our lives, this can be a source of great comfort as we face isolation from others, as we struggle to keep ourselves physically safe. That can often create emotional distance where we lack this sense of connectedness. And when that happens, particularly around the holidays, it can breed a sense of loneliness, a sense of struggle, a sense of increased burden. It can raise the question of, where is God in all of this? Well, John writes. He writes to remind us that God is not far from us. that he has come in grace and in truth to point us to the reality of our redemption in Jesus. The hope that you and I have that we are never alone. That God has not forgotten us, that he has not left us behind, but that he is near to each of us when we turn to him in faith. The image, the way in which John describes this in verse 14 is that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And it is an image, the language that he uses harkens back to the book of Exodus, where God would dwell in the midst of his people. His presence would be known. You could look and see it through the tabernacle. That language used in Exodus to describe God's presence there, his pitching a tent in the midst of the people, is the same type of language that John is using here to describe the incarnation. That when Jesus arrived, taking on humanity, that he has tabernacled, so to speak, among us. That God's presence is here with us. And that that continues on through the pouring out of his Spirit. If you have ever seen an empty dance floor at a reception or at an event, think back to the pre-COVID days. The reality of an empty dance floor is daunting, particularly for you as an individual. Who goes by themselves to go dance on an empty dance floor? Nobody. Even if it's a good song, even if you really like that song or it strikes up this deep sense of nostalgia in you, you're not going to be the only person out there because these questions linger over you. Am I good enough to pull that off? Wait, then everyone's going to be looking at me. What if I look stupid? Those things will keep us from moving toward the dance floor, from pushing out and going on to the floor. But if we are in a group of five other people and they all move out onto the floor and then others begin to make their way out, there is a sense that that journey from your seat to the dance floor itself becomes much easier when you're not going alone. When you're a part of some group or you see others out there and you go and join in. This is part of what it means for us to live with the Christian hope that God is near to us, that he walks with us, that we have this privilege looking ahead to Jesus' return. So that in the midst of our own difficult circumstances where we have all sorts of lingering questions about life and about our relationships and about our sense of isolation, hear the good news of Jesus' arrival meets us as a friend moving forward in the journey. Jesus says, I am with you to the ends of the earth. And that sense of God's presence with us is what drives us forward. In the opening of John's gospel, he alludes to the work of the prophet John the Baptist. And so in verses 6 and 7 and 8, you'll see that he came to bear witness to the reality that the light was showing up. He wasn't the light himself, but he was bearing witness so that people could hear and know that God, the creator of the world, is doing something in our midst. And then in verses 9 through 13, John does business with the reality of not everyone responds to this news of Jesus' arrival the same. In fact, people who you would expect to respond very favorably, they don't. And as we would see if we continue to read through John's gospel, he tips his hat just a little. People who we may not expect to respond to this announcement of God's entrance into the world, they do. And it opens up this tension, I think, for what it looks like for us, those who have experienced God's presence and have that privilege as we look forward to Jesus' second advent. We, you and I, collectively and individually are called to bear witness in the same way that John the Baptist did. Now, we don't have to look just like John the Baptist. We don't have to use his words. But as he could not help but bear witness to the truth of God's first arrival, so too we, as the Christian church, bear witness to Jesus's return. We have a calling from God to use that privilege not just merely for our own individual or corporate comfort, although it undoubtedly provides that, but to carry out God's calling to bear witness of what Jesus has done. And to recognize, I think, that just as we see in verses 9 through 13, that some people who we may expect to respond favorably to the news of Jesus's return may not, but that's not on us. And some people who we may think, I don't know that they would want anything to do with this Jesus. They don't seem to need any partner on their spiritual journey. You never know. And so we're called to witness boldly. We're called to share where our hope is found. And to trust that it is God, by the power of his Spirit, who works in people's lives to bring them in. That is what the Christian mission looks like today. We, in a sense, become the prophetic voice of where we can find hope. It's a prophetic voice of encouragement to those who feel like they're alone, of just the opportunity, the deep privilege they have to be united to Jesus through faith. God walking with them, just as he does with us, as well as the prophetic voice for those who think they can go it alone, who think, I don't need anyone else or anything else. I'm good just where I am. We are called to bear witness to the reality that the same God who created the world is the same God of the new creation. This is where history is headed. And so any sense that you can get someplace good alone and on your own is incompatible with the picture that we have in Scripture. And so the Christian church is called to not hoard that good news, to not store it up and put it on the shelf, but to call it out to one another as a voice of encouragement and to anyone who has ears to hear. That just as we celebrate this week ahead, the first arrival of Jesus, so too do we eagerly await, even in the face of some distinct challenges to community or in our own physical limitations. But we do it waiting for Jesus' second arrival with the unique privileges that we have. Access to God through prayer and the reminder that God is with us. This is what it means to continue to live waiting for Jesus' arrival. God, give us strength and wisdom and hope and encouragement to do just that. Amen.